All right, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6:18. Last portion of the book of Ephesians. The story is told of the small town in which there was not even one single liquor store. Lo and behold, finally there is a nightclub showed up in the main street. This disturbed the local church people so much that they decided they're going to have all-night prayer meetings. For several nights they've been praying. And finally they came to the conclusion God should strike them with the lightning and burn the place down to the ground. They prayed. Shortly after, wouldn't you know, lightning hit that nightclub and literally burned it down to the ground. And the nightclub owner, who heard about the story from the church, and he hired an attorney and to sue them for the damage. What they're saying is that he believed that the church people prayed and God sent the lightning, and lightning caused a fire and burned the building down to the ground. Church people hired their own lawyers. They said, "We have nothing to do with that fire." It finally went to the court. And after much of the deliberation, judge told the people, and said, "This is the opinion of the court. It doesn't matter where the guilt lies. The nightclub owner is the one who believed in the power of the prayer, but the church people did not." It's an embarrassing fact, isn't it? You know, if I want to make you guys squirm or any other Christians from the pulpit, all I have to do is ask you guys, how is your prayer life? And we would all say, we need to pray better. We would be all embarrassed. I'm not the one who's going to make you to squirm for that thing, because I would be the first one to agree that I need to pray to the Lord more fervently. I don't care about the length of prayer, because a lot of times my most earnest and fervent prayer is not long. It's a very short sentence. As a matter of fact, the Lord's Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane can be read within 15 to 20 minutes in normal reading speed. There are times, of course, of Lord Jesus Christ pray all night long. And think about this. When Peter was walking on the water, and he took the eyes off from Jesus Christ and looked around the wave, and he started to sink. And he said out two words, "Help, Lord." Do you think he was sincere? Do you think he was fervent? You betcha. You don't need to say flowery word to pray to the Lord. We're going to talk more about that. Prayer is the most ancient and most universal and most intense expression of religious instinct. Even the followers of the cult and occult pray. And they might even pray more fervently than some of us. The idea of prayer is speaking, pleading, in other words, begging. Don't you guys beg? I do. And requesting human supplication to a divine being. If you are born again Christian, you are praying to the Lord Jesus Christ and God Himself, who created the entire universe with a few sentences out of His mouth. He didn't try several times to make it right. He simply said a word, and it was done. But if you are not a born-again Christian, some of you might be here. If you are not a born-again Christian, to your surprise, I don't care how you believe it, according to the Bible, God will not hear your prayer. And let me rephrase it. God will not listen to your prayer. You know why? Because you are not His child. Can He hear your prayer? Yes, He can, absolutely. But will He do what you asked Him to do? No, He won't. You may say, oh, that's cold. Well, let me put it this way. He's your children. He's a children. Would you do what they ask you to do? And say, no, because they are not my children. Case in point. Why would he do what you want him to do when you are not his child? When you had made a commitment to Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Now, we are at the last portion of the book of Ephesians. We certainly covered a lot of ground from this letter by the Apostle Paul to the believers of the Ephesus church. And the Apostle Paul has taken us from the heavenly place in chapter 1 to the last place in chapter 6, earth's spiritual ground. In between, Apostle Paul showed us how the Lord lavished his love and grace on us in redemption. He also showed us how he took the alienated and made them cherished member of his own family. And he also showed how he turned the scarring division into the healing unity. And God showed us he rescued us from the pit of deception and placed us in the pinnacle of the truth. And he led us out of the darkness into his radiant light. We've learned so much. Since Apostle Paul taught us about the secret of the spiritual weaponry to the believers of Christ, he takes us one step further to challenge us to pray always with the perseverance in the Spirit. So let's go to the verse 18 of chapter 6 in Ephesians, and we will stop and pray. Heavenly Father, as we are about to close this book of Ephesians, great book, we learned a lot from you through the Holy Spirit. Father, we are asking you to what we learned today come alive in our lives. Let us learn, pray well, pray deep, pray fervently. Not for what we can get out of you, but rather what you can make us through prayer. Father, we are asking your anointing to be upon us, that we may understand your truth about prayer, and especially the one who speaks and forgive his sins, for his sins are many. And we also pray for President Obama's salvation, that he may come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, whatever it takes. And we pray for our troops, especially the one who in the harm's way. We're asking you to protect them. And we also pray for the law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Wherever they are, you surround them with your presence. You protect them and keep them safe. And during this difficult time, away from their family, away from their friends and their homes, Father, we are asking you to make your presence known, that they may come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Stop there. And let's talk about a few things, four things in general. Number one, praying always. What does the Apostle Paul mean, praying always? Does it mean that we are supposed to pray 24/7, rambling something all the time, like the medieval time monk? They walk around rambling something? Or during the Jesus time, Pharisees and Sadducees, they pray outward for the people to see. No, that's not what Jesus meant. Go, keep your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, please. Matthew 6, 7. If you're not familiar with the Bible, it would be the first book of the New Testament. And when you pray, Jesus speaking, do not use a vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. God is not concerned about how many words you can put it in. This verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Remember that verse? pray without ceasing, says to us always in communion with God. I'm not talking about taking an actual communion. It's communion means koinonia, it's a fellowship, deep fellowship. A Christian must pray always because he is always subject to the attack from Satan's temptation and deception. A surprise attack from them has caught many, many Christians off guard, and who forgot, they forgot because they forgot to pray without ceasing. Please don't give me that lame excuse. You say, I don't have a time to pray. Okay? Have you ever come up with that excuse? I've done before. Have you ever said, I gotta do this, and so I don't have a time to pray? Let me say this. You do have a time to pray. We do the things that we like to do. We make the time to do those things. And then you say, oh yeah, now I gotta pray. You try to squeeze that in between. You know what that said to our enemy, Satan? When we say, I don't have a time to pray, that means I don't want to have connection with God. That means it's making ourselves vulnerable to the attack of Satan. Listen, we need prayer to the Lord the most when we think that we have the least time to pray. Are you with me on that? Hello? And you're thinking, well, I really don't want to save. If I said I'm committed to do that, you betcha. God hear our prayer wherever we offer them. God hear our prayers wherever we offer them. Let me make a few examples. Jonah, remember him? The guy in the belly of a fish? Big sushi? He prayed. God heard him. And how about this? Daniel in the den of lions, surrounded by the big kitty cats. And he prayed. God heard. And King David, he was in the middle of the cave behind Saul, and he prayed. God heard him. And he was in the middle of the wilderness out of nowhere where there's no cell coverage. God heard him. Another thing, if you think that position is very important, when you pray, you have to kneel, you have to fold your hands like this and close your eyes. Who told you that? You can stand, you can take a shower, you can drive while you pray. Please don't close your eyes while you drive. And some people can lie down and pray. That doesn't go well with me because as soon as I lie down, I'm going into comatose. I have a deep fellowship with a brother pillow and a sister sheet. It doesn't matter what kind of position you have. But one thing matters is where it's coming from. Does it come from your lips or does it come from your heart? Am I making sense? The key is that we should pray frequently. When you wake up in the morning or if you're working night shift, when you wake up, whenever that time is, when you wake up, maybe you can recite one of the verses from the psalm. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Start the day right way. And throughout the day, you have a communication, conversation with Him. At the end of the day, you pray. And thank God for the day. Even if it was a bad day, at least you had a breath. You had a life. Acknowledge who God is and giving thanks for all the things He has done for us. Guess what? Praying without ceasing is God's will for us. And you're thinking, where do you find it? I'm glad you asked. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks for what does it say? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, there is the will of God for you. Prayer can be continuous. And let me give you another example. Elijah, Prophet Elijah, was seeking an audience with the wicked King Ahab. Wicked King Ahab trying to kill him, Elijah. In our case, well, avoid him like as much as you can. But go to 1 Kings chapter 18, please. Elijah has the best backup he can ever find. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 15, please. Then Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand." Note that. He's standing in the presence of God. "I will surely present myself to him," that is Ahab, "today." Elijah was not concerned whether he can find the God. He is standing in the presence of God. Number one, God is omnipresent God. He is everywhere. Number two, wherever he goes, God is with him. We sang a song, "God goes before us, God is go behind us." Remember that? And most of all, if you are born again Christian, Holy Spirit lives in you. How can you get away from God? Unless you reject him, Holy Spirit is with you. We too are never alone. Wherever we go, God is with us. We can commune with him and have a fellowship with him and pray to him and hear from him. That is the idea of a continuous prayer and being fellowship and communion with God. Amen? So, if you want to grow spiritually, make your prayer a vital and regular part of your life. Some people say, "Well, I'll pray to God when I need him." You're thinking that God, praying to God is like a spiritual 911. When you are in a bad, tight corner, you're boiling hot situation, all right, pick up the phone and call 911. "God, I need you." Yeah, God will listen to you. Wouldn't that be better if you talk to him constantly so you know what's ahead? Second thing I want you to pay attention and go back to verse 18, please. Praying always with all prayer. Note that, with all prayer. Again, what does it mean? There is more than one kind of prayer. It's not all nagging prayer. It's not always asking for, "Give me this, give me that." That's a supplication. There is an intercession, there is a thanksgiving. Listen, any believers who pray only to ask for the things for themselves are missing out on a blessing that comes with intercession and giving thanks. Did you get that? If you only look for the prayer, consider prayer as, "Give me this, give me that, all about me, entire world, entire universe, God should revolve around me." No, there's more than that. Giving thanks and intercession. In fact, giving thanks is a great prayer weapon for the defeating Satan. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Prayer changes everything"? Prayer changes things. That phrase is wrong. Prayer does not change things. The one who listens to your prayer changes things. However, let me say, I can say this. Praise for God changes things. You know what? What does it change? Your heart. While you praise the Lord in your prayer, all of a sudden you realize who God is. All of a sudden you can see who really God is, what can he do, and your problem you have is no longer that strong, is no longer that valid. Intercession for others can bring the victory to our lives as well. Some Bible commentators believe that the prayer is another piece of spiritual armor, which is possible, but certainly is one of the ways we stand firm in this protection God has provided for us. And we can even think that prayer is as the way we put on the armor of God. Another aspect that we need to consider, no age limit, no physical limit. Please notice that Paul did not say, to pray to the Lord, you have to be 18 or older. Did you notice that? There's no age limit. And he does not say, well, you have to be a wholesome person. You cannot if you're a handicapped person, you cannot pray to the Lord. It does not say that. There's no age limit for anyone who could wield spiritual weaponry in prayer. Little children can intercede for others and taking their tender heart to God. And so can the man and woman in the 80s, 90s, and 100s. There is no physical handicap limitation. As long as you have a thinking, sound mind, you can pray to the Lord. And all of us are a vital part of Christ's body. No one is unimportant, no one is unneeded. And prayer is something all of us can do to help each other. Get that? Prayer is something all of us can do to help each other. We have a prayer chain. If you call Bob, Rambo Bob out there, and if you call him in your bulletin, there's a phone number. If you need a prayer right away, you call him. And he will cascade the information to those who are in the prayer chain. We will pray. And if it's not an urgent, you send an email to prayer@ccos.org and we'll pray throughout the month. Do we take the prayer seriously? Yes, we do. I loved praying with the children because you never know what's going to come out from their mouth. But it comes out honestly. And sometimes their prayer is heartfelt and so sincere. At the same time, they're cheating in the middle of prayer, like my grandson. Her grandma make a mac and cheese for lunch and bring it to him, and he's sitting on the high chair. And I say, Micah, let's pray. So we hold hands, start to pray. Well, we try to hold hands, but he just let go of it. And in the middle of a prayer, I make it very short. Thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful food. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. That's about as far as I can go. And I look down. He has a fork in. He has a great table manner, by the way. He holds a fork in his hand, and with the other hand, he shoveled the mac and cheese in his mouth. So I say, okay, make it simple. Say thank you, Jesus. And he with a mouth full of mac and cheese, he says, thank you, Jesus. Does he know who Jesus is? Probably not. He's only 2.5 years old. But someday he will, because I'm keep on putting the seed of doubt in his heart. Last one. No, I'm not done yet, by all means. To our God only. When you pray, do not be concerned about what others think about your prayer. And when I ask somebody to pray, well, they said, well, I don't know how to pray. Can you speak? That's all it takes. Even if you cannot speak, you can still pray in your heart. Does the Bible ever say what you need to have that the Bible calls it professor verbiage to pray right and for the God to hear you? No. Nowhere in the Bible says you have to pray flowery way or you have to pray fancy way. One thing it asks is pray from your heart. It can be simple few words. It can be a very short sentence. Pray from your heart. Don't worry about other people. If they think that your prayer is kind of boring, they don't know anything about prayer. You're speaking to the Lord who already knows everything about you. You are not going to impress him with your intellect. So just be yourself, be honest, and pour your heart to him. That's all. Go to Hebrews chapter 4:16, please. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come, what does it say? Boldly, exactly. Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain the mercy and find the grace to help in time of need. It does not say come with a fancy-dancy word. Come boldly, in confidence. You don't need to come to God with this any fancy things. Just come to him as you are. Then why pray? The value of prayer is that it keeps us in touch with God. Prayer should be the thought of as a relationship between father and child. We may think that God should give us everything we want and we need all at once right now. Have you thought about that? I did. Why doesn't he just give me everything that I want right now? You know what? I'm glad he doesn't. If God were to give us all his glorious gift in one lump sum, we are facing the danger of enjoying the gift and forgetting the gift giver. Which one is more important, gift giver or gift? Come on, answer me. Gift giver, exactly. God gives us what we need as we need it. And it also keeps us dependent on him. Go down to verse 19 of chapter 6 in Ephesians, please. Yes, we finished one verse. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Did you notice the Apostle Paul was not asking the Ephesian church people to pray that I may be released from the prison, or pray that I may not be killed? He is simply asking them to ask God that I may have a courage. Then you have to ask yourself, does it mean the Apostle Paul can be intimidated, can be discouraged? Yes. Throughout the New Testament, what he wrote, he was discouraged. He's been beaten, he's been stoned, he's been in and out of a jail, like a regular jailbird, and he's been in the prison so long that between him and the Praetorian Guard, their first name basis. He also knew that someday Emperor Nero's execution would show up and whack his head off with his axe. He knew all of that, but he didn't want to live in fear. Instead, he stood before the most powerful leaders of their world, and he wanted to keep the Christ preeminent and make his message known. He was, in fact, promoting the sovereignty of God's kingdom to the heathen leaders, and who could flip their thumbs down and kill him instantly. So he asked the Ephesians to help shore up his courage to represent the true king as he should. All of us, no matter what kind of situation we may be in, we need to have the courage to stand by the Christ and keep on telling the truth. Let me put it this way. Souls are at stake. Souls are at stake. It can be your family member. It can be your friend. It can be your co-workers or the one who give you a hard time. Their souls at stake. Pray for their souls. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. See, what we have to look forward to in heaven is far outweighs the hurt this world can inflict. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Remember what I said before? What is better than going to heaven? What's better than going to heaven? Taking someone with you. So pray for those people's soul. Folks, if you're one of those people who tend to worry and you tend to be fearful, I want you to go back and read the Apostle Paul's prayer. And I want you to read another comment that Moses made. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. God speaking through Moses, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. God is with you, and then who can be against you? Amen? All right, back to the Ephesians, the final verses, verse 21 in chapter 6. But that you also may know my affair and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs, that he may comfort your heart. Peace to the brethren, and the love with the faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace be with you all, those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. This Apostle Paul, great man of God, wrote 13 books out of 27 books of the New Testament. And he could be busy, only those important people. But he made a point to be personal with those who are not so important. If you are in the ministry, please listen to me. Ministry is for people. You hear that? Ministry is for people. I heard a phrase, some pastor said, I love ministry, but the people I cannot deal with. If you think that, you like ministry, but you don't want to deal with a bunch of people who are causing problems, do me a favor. Do us all a favor, and yourself. Get out of ministry. You don't need to be in the ministry. If you're in the ministry for the sake of ministry, doing things in the ministry, but you don't like people, get out. Because ministry without people is nothing. Ministry means ministering to the people. That's what it is. I have four applications. Number one, instead of trying to twist God's arms with your prayer, put yourself in His faithful hand. Let me ask you this. Can God do a wonderful job without you helping Him? Yes. 1,000 times yes. Let me ask you another question. Do you think God can dispatch His faithful angels to do the things that we are supposed to do without making a whole lot of mess like we do? Yes. They never say no to God, or they never argue with God like we do. But He chooses to include us in His master plan so that He can share His time, His journey, and His mind. Second application. Our highest privilege is to talk to God, and our highest duty is to listen to God. To be successful as a Christian, you must have a deep prayer life. You must have a deep prayer life. Third application. We need to pray most when we have the least time to pray. We need to pray most when we have the least time to pray. Listen, this is important. Prayer is a bridge between panic and peace. Get that? Prayer is a bridge between panic and peace. Fourth application. If you want to grow spiritually, then make your prayer a vital and regular part of your life. Amen?